sinners are sick from water, sick from air. Making money they don't get. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they mass our brain. They burn the kids, no one thinks gun. Trees, laugh to your face. Fight and die, cause God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slide. They don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn. The kids, no one thinks gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, and I'm your host for the next hour. And we're going to see what's cooking in the world, or maybe not the world. I concentrate a fair bit on Canada and the United Nations, which I guess that part's the world. But we're having one of the coldest springs that we've had in a very, very, very long time. Still got snow in the yard. We're quickly approaching April 1. And usually by April 1, people are already starting to do their yard work. Some people have got the lawnmowers out. The flowers are up. But this year we still have snow. And next week... Now, I'm not saying that the weatherman is going to be right, but next week the weatherman's predicting somewhere between, over the course of the week, the low side would be about 15 centimeters and the high side would be about 33 centimeters of snow for the first week of April, which is, well, got to be caused by global warming. I'm so sick of that subject, and we have a story here that Canada and the provinces lack clear plan to adapt to climate change. Now, climate change is like everything else. It's a way to lock people down, take away their rights, and create revenue streams. It's all what climate change is about. It's all it's ever been about. It, like everything else is being shoved at us, is a fraud. So Environmental Commissioner Julie Gelfand says Canada's work on climate change will require a concerted effort across all levels of government, and that the country's work is far from being done. Yeah. Well... why don't we put you, Julie, on a spaceship and send you somewhere that you're not going to bother us with your nonsense? Neither Ottawa nor the provinces have really assessed the risks a changing climate poses to the country and have no real idea of what might be needed to adapt to it, says a new audit released Tuesday. The joint audit conducted by the Federal Environment Commissioner Julie Gelfand and auditors general in nine provinces looks at climate change planning and emission reduction progress between November 2016 and March 2018. It says While many governments have high-level goals to cut emissions, few have detailed plans to actually reach those goals, such as timelines, funding, or expected results from specific actions. The audit says assessments to adapt to the risks posed by climate change have been haphazard, inconsistent, and lacking in detail, with no timeline for action and no funding. The country's emissions goals are also a hodgepodge of different targets with no consistency in how emissions are measured or whether cuts will target overall greenhouse gas outputs or just those from specific economic sectors. The auditor says that means there is no clarity on how Canada and the provinces and territories are going to measure, monitor, and report on their contributions to meeting Canada's international commitment. Again, international commitment. It ain't our commitment, it's an international commitment to cut emissions by at least 30% by from 2005 levels by 2030. As of 2015, the most recent year for which full stats are available, Canada was nearly 200 million tons short of that goal, which is the equivalent of emissions produced by about 44 million cars each year. That is twice the number of vehicles registered in Canada. Now, understand why that's in there, okay? One of the goals of the internationalists, the UN, besides end of nation states, is to get you out of your private automobile, okay? They don't want you to have private transportation, because private transportation relates to freedom of movement, and that they want to curtail. So what they're going to do, you're going to see this, the gas prices have gone up recently to almost $1.30 a liter. If people would read things, which they don't, I mean, other than what I'm reading to you here is a newspaper from the Communist Broadcasting Corporation or their news outlet, is that it was all wrote down a long time ago. One of the next stages they're going to do here when people start complaining, you know, about the gas prices, which they're already doing, is in order to curtail your movement, they want to tax you by the mile or kilometer traveled over and above the gas prices you're paying. Okay, because it's all about changing. Everything here is about changing your lifestyle. Okay, and they feel they have the right to do whatever they got to do to you to make you use less electricity, less water, and travel less miles in your private automobile. I keep saying this. I don't know if it's in your area. I'm not even sure if it's still on the Canada real estate listings, but they did have, and they may still have, an app, which is a number. So the closer you live to the town center or the city center, the better the walk score. It's called a walk score. And that means that the closer you are, you can walk to the amenities that you require, and therefore you don't need a private automobile. Now, when I tracked this down, once I found out who made the app, then all I got to do is find out who funded the app, and that didn't take but a few minutes, and it was the Rockefeller Foundation that funded the app, with the saying that we'll fund anything that helps get people out of their private automobiles. You know, this nonsense of light rail transit and all these transit programs are putting forward. People, you know, is sold to the people, the propaganda at least is sold to the people on the idea that, you know, transit's good for you. But the real reason that they're putting in all this transit is to get you out of your automobile. The reason they're putting in bike paths is to narrow the roads. They're dropping the speed limits. They're doing everything in their power to make it so it's not worth owning a vehicle to transport yourself around in. So we'll continue on this a bit. Uh-huh. Environment Minister Catherine McKenna, who is another nutcase, said it is the first time auditors have completed such a review of Canada's climate change policies, which she sees as an important recognition of the priority climate change should have in government business. But she said the audit, as Gelfield herself notes, looks backwards and does not actually take into account the pan-Canadian framework on clean growth and climate change. The plan was released in December 2016 after the audit scope was already established. It also falls short of reaching the 2030 goals, however. McKenna said the plan addresses many of the concerns in the audit, outlining how certain policies will achieve specific emission cuts. The previous government did nothing for a decade, but we're 100% committed to our target, McKenna said. Hard things are hard. We have a plan, and we're already seeing measurable results. Catherine Ebb Drew, executive director of the Climate Action Network, said this audit looks at what progress has been made to meet Canada's existing targets, including the 2020 commitment, which Canada has abandoned, knowing it has no hope of meeting. The target was to bring emissions 17% below 2005 levels by 2020. She notes that the third international emissions target Canada has set and will miss. The Gelford report says the 2030 plan is at risk if Canada and the provinces don't step it up. All provinces but Saskatchewan are currently signed on to the pan-Canadian framework, which requires every province to put a price on pollution by the start of next year. The four biggest provinces already have one. Manitoba will add a $25 a ton carbon tax in September, and every other province will either have to establish their own price or have a federal price imposed as of next January 1. And again, part of that carbon tax is going to be laid on your vehicles in the next few years. For every mile you drive, your vehicle is going to emit a certain amount of CO2 of which you're going to be taxed on. And they'll just keep ramping it up. There could be rough waters ahead. Saskatchewan hasn't joined the framework and says it will sue if the federal government tries to impose a carbon tax. Ontario and Alberta have both carbon price plan in place, cap and trade for Ontario, and a carbon tax system with hard caps on emissions from the oil sands for Alberta. But coming provincial elections could bring to power premiers who are running on a promise to end carbon pricing. McKenna said the clear technology sector, or clean technology sector, excuse me, is developing in response to climate change, creating an enormous economic opportunity. While not taking action on climate change now will cost the government money later. Now, it doesn't cost the government anything. I hate this crap. You know, we got to spend hard now, because if we don't, it'll cost the government money later. The only money is what they take out of your pockets. The government has no money. You are the surety for the debt. You are the collateral for the debt. And the government don't give a damn how much debt they get into, because that's part and parcel of the game of taking your nation state down. So I don't know if there is some comments here. Hot damn. Let's see. If we do not curb Canada's emissions now, it will double to 4% of the world's emissions, a tenth of China's. Consider yourself warned. The climate change is coming sooner than it should for lots of reasons. A plan would be to capitalize on the outcome. It's too late to make a parachute after you have jumped. A solution to greenhouse gas emissions and other developing problems is to ban all imports from China. That would eliminate 25% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions in one step. It would also stop funding for China's expansionist policies by drying up their funding for multi-million dollar islands in the South Sea China, or South China Sea, in other countries' territories. We need to get back to producing quality goods that last 30 or 40 years, not the throwaway junk coming from China. Now, this one is correct. The rest of this nonsense was nonsense. This is correct. I've been saying it forever and ever and ever. We produce nothing here. We have no population here. We live in the second largest landmass country on the planet, with the smallest population per square mile, per square of anywhere. And we don't create anything. We don't make a damn thing. Everything we made is gone. Now, we used to, and he's absolutely correct, the average lifespan of a new washer, dryer, fridge, stove is between 7 and 9 years. Coming out of China, where we used to make stuff that easily lasted 20, 30 years without putting a wrench on the damn thing. But this is all part of the end of nation states. This is about their independence, interdependency nonsense, that every country is interdependent on another country because no country produces anything for itself. You have this country producing washers for the nuts that are produced somewhere else, for the tubing that's produced somewhere else. But the whole idea of China, I mean, you go back to Morris Strong and Rockefeller. These are the boys that brought China forward by removing all of our manufacturing and putting it in China. Why? Because they make lots of money. That's why. And here we have this nonsense of carbon emissions in Canada when Alberta shut down its coal plants, Ontario shut down its coal plants. That was the most coal plants we had in the whole country, as far as I know. Meanwhile, China built 500 of the damn things. They get cheap coal because they shut down coal generation in most of the West. So there's no real market for coal. So how are we going to fire up these 500 new coal plants in China? It's going to be expensive. Well, no, if we can get everybody else to quit using coal, then there's no market. Then coal's cheap. And then you got these jackasses over here going, well, we need more carbon taxes and stuff. No, you need a punch in the face is what you need. Now, here's Max Banner says, how do we cut emissions while bringing in 300,000 people per year, mostly from warmer climates who have no need for heat or transportation? Good question. But then again, the 300,000 plus per year coming in here are coming in here as part of the take down the nation. Liberals named a dog during their last reign of terror, followed by the unusual lip service this time. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean. Carbon tax. Most people have no clue what carbon is. The graphite in pencils is carbon. Diamonds are carbon. All our food is carbon-based. Every animal on the planet is made of carbon. Humans are carbon-based life forms. Organic chemistry is all about carbon-based things. It seems that scientific ignorance is on the rise, and it shows. Well, no. No. Well, you're right, Gord, but the point is, who's the enemy? Why was CO2 picked as the greenhouse gas? Well, everything that we use, depend on, is carbon-based. And we exhale CO2. And the Club of Rome makes no bones about it. Therefore, man is the enemy. You're the enemy. You're the enemy. And they want to cull the population. Just like they cull, wolves in that, or deer. When they decide that there's too many deer, too many wolves, they go in and they cull them. Well, they're convinced there's too many people on the planet. You've heard that a gazillion times. And this is all about culling the population. It has nothing whatsoever to do with climate change, because that ain't real. Other than the climate change is there. Well, it just changed again. Oop, just changed again. Oop, just changed again. But that wasn't the original spiel. The original spiel was man caused global warming. Okay? Now, if you go back, there's a video that came, made for TV special, prelude to the 72 Stockholm Conference on the human environment. In that, it's all about population reduction. Too many people on the planet. And starring David Rockefeller, Maurice Strong, and a bunch of their people. And it's all about too many people. That's way back in 72. That's when they started the one-child policy in China, which was Rockefeller was right in top of that. So it's not about climate change. It's not about man-caused global warming, because man doesn't have the capacity to warm the planet. Just doesn't have the capacity to do so. But they needed mechanisms. That's what they said. They're looking for mechanisms. Global problems that can only be solved at the global level. Okay, which subverts the power of any nation to make its own decisions. So, man-caused global warming is just another made-up problem. And what we're looking at here today is some more reaction to move to the solution of which they concocted based on their phony problem that they created. So, you know, watch that video. It's called Survival of Spaceship Earth. It's on my YouTube Canada Live. Canada Live, I think Ron Stevens. But there's other copies of it out there. I did cut it down because it's a little long. We have Rue Callahan from doing an introductory in that particular film, yammering on about, oh, well, we got to save the planet. It was way back in 72. And, you know, she's one of the Golden Girls, which was a pretty popular show. And they control the media, which includes TV and movies. And Hugh Downs and Raymond Burr do some of the voice work in it. So it was all about saving the planet, and there's too many people, and it's all a crock of nonsense. And they're manipulating the hell out of you. Now, Jack Grant got it right. Money is the theme song. Yeah, it's like I said at the beginning. It's about revenue streams while they take you down. So in other words, you're paying for your demise. And as George Carlin would say, not too effing bright, folks. Let me see. Someone will be getting rich off the carbon tax and cap and trade scam, basically stealing money from Canadians trying to put food on the table and a roof over their heads. Absolutely. But then again, what's not sustainable from the 1976 Habitat One conference on human settlements in Vancouver? What's not sustainable? Private property. So while you're struggling to keep a roof on your head, they're working to kick you out of your house. Because according to them, and you know all these social justice warriors running around out there, according to them, or in 1976, according to the UN people, it was Maurice Strong again and David Rockefeller and a bunch of their cronies pushing the agendas, is that if you own property and I don't, they call it land, all land must be held in the public, which is going to be the corporate, because your government's already a corporation, is that if you own land and I don't, well, you can gain wealth from it and I can't, therefore it's a form of social injustice. So somewhere down the road here, they're going to crank the interest rates up, they're going to crank up the bylaws and the requirements for you to continually upgrade your house to make it more energy efficient, until you can't afford to live in it anymore. That's the whole point. Your water bills are going to go through the ceiling. Your hydro bills have already gone through the ceiling. They're just going to continue to go higher. You're going to be taxed eventually here on each mile or kilometer you travel in your private vehicle, because those aren't sustainable. And it even says in 76 that that agriculture is not sustainable. And you've all seen stories about where they want to grow your food in the cities. So you're going to live in an apartment building and they'll redo it so that all the wastewater being produced in the building will be reused to water your veggies. They're not going to be raising cattle or chickens or anything else in your apartment buildings, veggies only, because, well, raising animals takes too much water. And the whole point is, down the road, if we don't stop this, the first thing that's going to go bye-bye is red meat. They've already talked about taxing red meat because the cows fart and they drink too much water, and therefore they're not sustainable. They're damaging the environment. I mean, they wrote all this stuff down years and years and years and years and years and years ago, but nobody ever reads this stuff. And that's the unfortunate part, because had people been reading everything they write down for the last, well, at least minimum since before the Second World War, you would not have allowed this to get this far. You would have stepped up to the plate a long, long time ago and put a stop to it. But nobody reads anything. Not that you need to read, but they write everything down, so it's quite accessible. Now, the other thing that people have to get over is this idea of any particular politician being a problem. You know, we hear this over and over and over again, that Trudeau's an idiot, Trudeau doesn't know what he's doing, Trudeau's working for the wrong side, Trudeau's a communist like his daddy or a Marxist. Not the point, okay? Not the point at all. They're all working for the same outfit. Your country, I don't care what country you live in, your country is a corporation. And your leaders are basically the CEOs and the board of directors of that corporation. And all of these countries are tied as member states to the United Nations. The United Nations stands above your country. And that is why all of this nonsense is going on in all of our countries. That's why the debt's going through the roof. Now, they're trying to raise the debt load as high as they can before they pull the stop on the interest rates. Now, besides your high water bills, your high energy bills, and all the other things you got to pay to live in your house, once they crack that interest rate, and they don't have to put it up that high because people are on the edge already. If that interest rate goes, probably even 6% is going to create a catastrophe. But I would suspect it's going to go up 8, 10, 12%. Now, when they were running the farmers off back in the 70s, they raised the interest rates at that time, I think it was to 21%. And an awful pile of farmers lost their farms. That's when the family farm disappeared and they became big corporate farms. And that was when your food really started to degenerate. It's when the GMOs took hold. That's when the huge hog barns and chicken barns and all that appeared. Okay? All corporate. And as Kissinger said, control the food, control the people. Control the oil, control the nation. Well, they control both. They also control your health, your education, your banking, your media, school curriculum. Okay? It's all been internationalized. You know, so bitching and complaining about Trudeau, all that does is show the ignorance of the general population. We hate Trudeau. Well, who doesn't? Who doesn't? But all the rest of them have been puppets as well. And the next one will be a puppet as well. As long as your nation is connected in any way, shape, or form to the United Nations, you don't have a country. You have no leadership in your country. All you have is facilitators for the international programs, which are designed to do what? End nation states. That's why the conservative Stephen Harper said in 2010, this, the G20 meeting, is a loss of national sovereignty. That's why Trudeau, 5 days or 6 days after being elected, said Canada is the first post-national state. So the problem we have is much larger than climate change, man-made global warming, or Tinkerbell Trudeau being in power, or whoever your premier of the province, or even the mayor and the council in your local municipality. Every single group are working as facilitators to drive the debt up and take your nation down from the inside. And that's a fact, not an opinion. It's a fact because it's all wrote down. So somehow or another, the people of the West are going to have to get their acts together. Actually, this is James Smith. It says, actually, we do know that human activity is contributing to the warming trend that we observe. Why do scientists think current warming isn't natural, is a question. Climate model simulations that consider only natural solar variability and volcanic are able to fit the observation of global temperatures only up to about 1950. After that point, the declared trend in global surface warming cannot be explained without including the contribution of the greenhouse gas aided or added by humans. Total crock of nonsense. And we know that the models are correct because we have compared the projections they made 20 years ago against 20 years observed temperature data, UN climate change projections made in 1990 coming true. Climate change projections made over two decades ago have stood the test of time, according to the report. Now, there's a problem. Knowledge is power, and they had the knowledge, okay? Now, it wasn't a problem way back when the ice melted the last time up in the Arctic. It was looked as a very positive, a positive thing. Nobody was running around going, oh my God, the ice is melting. No, they were looking, hot damn, the ice is melting. This is great. We'll get a shortcut, trade route through the Northwest Passage. This is fantastic. Then it froze up again. And what melted the ice? Was it man-made CO2 emissions? No. No, no, no. It was the deep ocean currents, which, like every other thing on this planet, is cyclical. The ice did not melt from above. The ice melted from below. And that's a fact, Jack. And it was well studied, it was well researched, way back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, whenever that was. You can find it if you, what the hell is the name of the book? The Sea Around Us, I guess, is the name of the book. And so if you go to my blog, which is canadiantruths.wordpress.com, and put in The Sea Around Us, you will find all the evidence you need to prove that what the so-called climate scientists were using was actual data, and that is the next warming cycle. Back in the late 80s and that, it was so freaking hot, it was ridiculous, because we had a solar maximum, and the deep sea ocean currents beating on us, one from below and one from above at the same time. It had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with you breathing. Okay, we do not have the capacity to raise the temperature. I mean, we are so minute. It's ridiculous. Now, you'd think if all the governments on the world and the UN were so concerned about climate change and pollution, you would think that they would stop dropping bombs on everybody. Because I would think the emissions from one bomb being dropped is probably more than all the emissions that you're ever going to produce in your freaking lifetime. But hey, if we don't bomb these countries, where are we going to get the migrants to run into the West? How are we going to have all these displaced people to run into the West if we don't obliterate where they live? Bingo. I mean, we generally are so stupid, it hurts, and I wish people would stop calling themselves humans. That is the one thing that really, really irritates the hell out of me. According to the United Nations, a human being is something that evolved from a great ape, which is an animal. So when they say the universal declaration of human rights, these are rights of the animals that they have dominion over, which is you. Because they can't have dominion over another man. That don't work. That was one of the main purposes to push Darwinism. I mean, Darwin wasn't really into any of this stuff, really. I mean, he was just making some observations, but as far as you or I evolving from a great ape, that wasn't part of his game. But they use whatever they can to propagandize what they're trying to create. So now you have universal human rights. Not universal man rights / woman rights. International human rights. In other words, you're an animal. And if you think about what they're doing, they're sitting above us, looking at us, and manipulating us, and changing the way we eat, the way we think, the way we interact. In other words, we're lab rats. So they can make you scurry to that corner of the box through the maze. Well, can we get them to go to that corner? Well, let's see if we can manipulate them. Yep, we can. And we've become like jelly. They just mold us. But we are basically lab rats because they have designated us as animals. Something evolved from a great ape. But realistically, we're just lab rats. Now, there's a UNESCO school about 50 miles from me, north of me here in Wharton, Ontario, which is just a little wee small place. And they describe the UNESCO schools as laboratories. Okay, so they go in, they bring students in, they see if they can manipulate, see what they can get them to believe, and how they can mold them for what they want. And what they gain, that information or data they gain out of those laboratories called UNESCO schools, is then pushed through the general population after that. Which makes us really stupid. And we should be really angry that we've been this stupid. We don't have to be angry at the politicians. We don't have to be angry at the preachers or the teachers. Or even the phony scientists, which they are. We should be angry at ourselves for allowing ourselves to be deceived. Take heed, no man deceive you. Well, we've been deceived. You've been lied to since the day you were born, since your mother signed you over to the state. For the benefit of the state, of which you were enslaved to the state. And in case you don't understand it, slavery is against the law, but you are, by definition, a slave. Citizen means the same as subject, so you're subject to the corporation. So they can make up any stupid rule, regulation, statute, whatever the hell they want to make up, and you will abide by it. So it's rule by force. It's not rule by law. It's rule by force. In other words, tyranny. And you are a slave and a lab rat. So, you know, you gotta zone in. If we're going to fix this, you got to figure out who the problem is. The problem is us, not them. We are the problem. we are most definitely the problem. But until you realize that we're the problem, we can't become the solution. And we are the only ones that can be the solution. But if you're running around saying, well, they're causing all this problem on us, well, then you can't be the solution because you haven't come to the grips with the idea that we're the problem because we never stood up and said no. At no point have we ever stood up and said no. Oh, we may go and get some paper and write a petition. That's not standing up. You may see people waving little signs around. That's not a solution. They laugh at you when you do that. Because as long as you're writing petitions or running around protesting with these little signs, they know you don't get it yet. You're just bitching and complaining about a particular thing at a particular time and not seeing the big picture. So they laugh in your general direction, and rightfully so. Because we deserve to be laughed at. Because we haven't come to the realization yet that we are slaves. And until you get to that point, you can't have the proper anger, which is a motivator, to decide you're going to be the solution. I mean, anybody that thinks man-made global warming is real, well, those people are the people that the hypnotists love to have at their shows because they can turn them into chickens really quick through suggestion. Science suggests this. Science suggests that. Science suggests that eggs are bad for you. Science suggests that butter is bad for you. It raises your cholesterol and puts your life in danger. Oh my God, says everybody. This propaganda is coming at you in the magazines, the newspapers, the TVs, the movies, and you all run off to get your cholesterol changed. Never asking yourself a simple question. Our forefathers ate butter. Our forefathers ate eggs. They were strong of the mind, the spine, and the spirit. They weren't dropping over like flies from heart attacks all over the place from this cholesterol problem. So where in the hell is science getting off on telling us that eggs are bad and butter is bad? Well, because eggs are good and butter is good and they both make you healthy and they don't want healthy people. Control the food, control the people. So science, with all their data on the eggs and their milk and their all the foods that our forefathers ate that kept them strong and healthy, all of a sudden are a problem simply because they don't want you strong and healthy. They want you running to them so that they can make you even less strong and less healthy. But I'm just bringing the butter, the cholesterol, and the milk up for the simple fact that this was scientific evidence. Science says. And you cannot disagree with science because that's basically blasphemy. And heresy. But then if you read back far enough, when they said they killed God and they replaced the priest with the scientist with the same attitude that you can't question the priest and now you can't question the scientist. Well, if you're not questioning the scientists, then, unless you want to be a chicken in a hypnotist show, don't go to the show because If you don't get any of this stuff, then you've just proven that you're easily hypnotized through suggestion. And they sell you all of this stuff on the idea of suggestion. The data suggests. Really? And then people go, well, the scientists said. No, they didn't say anything. They don't have any proof of anything. They suggested. Okay? So they didn't say anything. They made a suggestion. And you went for it. And then you turn the suggestion into a reality in your own mind, which makes you the guilty party. They know exactly what the hell they're up to. They know how to play the game. They know how to use the verbiage and that. But we've become so weak. We don't ask any questions. We just go along with it. Now, even David Suzuki, who's been running around yammering on about global warming forever and saving the planet, who you would never have heard of if it hadn't been for Morris Strong. And David Suzuki doesn't know anything about climate. He didn't know anything about environment. All he ever did was study some fruit flies. But we'll let that go because he's a scientist. No, he's a propagandist. And I guess propaganda is a science because you use your data to influence and suggest to people. But even David Suzuki, I read a paper, quite a few years ago, and he was at a university, I think it was in Seattle. And even then he told the student body that what you believe today to be scientifically correct, you will find out in 20 years from now it is completely freaking wrong. And every now and again a little truth comes out and he's absolutely correct when he said that. It's used to manipulate you. We're already moved into a cooling cycle. All you got to do is look at the real data, look at the cyclical changes. These aren't made by you. These are normal, repeatable changes, the natural cycle of the earth. I mean, you think about it. You look at your size. And then look up at the sky. And you tell me that us little dots have the capacity to change the climate of the earth. It is not possible. And it never will be possible. The manipulation we're getting of the weather and that is caused by who? Those who tell you that climate change is real. These are the guys that do the oil spills. You know, I saw a new article come out about there's 12 times more plastic or whatever the hell the number was in the ocean than they thought. Well, didn't you know? I mean, you put some numbers out before, and now you're saying it's many times more than we thought. So that's not very good scientific evidence. But the question is, if all this plastic's going in the ocean, then there's a simple solution for it, isn't it? Stop it from going in the ocean. Well, if we stopped it from going in the ocean, then we wouldn't have a plastic problem, would we? Exactly. And if you didn't have the plastic problem, then you wouldn't be able to play the fear card on people. This is what they do, folks. And you best wise up to it. You know, Victoria, Vancouver Island, still dumping raw sewage out in the ocean. you know, along the Ottawa River and the St. Lawrence are dumping raw sewage into the waterways. And this is your government who's telling you you're going to have to pay a carbon tax while they're dumping shit in the ocean and the rivers. How does that make any sense? Well, of course it doesn't. But people have their minds are so small now. Not all minds, but generally. That they just eat this propaganda up like it's going out of style. And you got to stop doing that. We have to learn to say no. We have to say no. Oh, just before we get out of here, this is a brilliant this is a brilliant little piece that I saw again on the Communist Broadcasting Corporation News, CBC. Where did I see this thing? Oh, here it is. This is brilliant. Canada gives border security extra powers to crack down on cheap steel and aluminum. Think about that. Canada gives the border security extra powers to crack down on cheap steel and aluminum, but not migrants, not illegals crossing our border. The RCMP is carrying their damn luggage for them. But hey, we're beefing up the security on our borders to crack down on cheap steel and aluminum. And unless that alien coming across, that illegal coming across the border is made out of cheap steel or aluminum, well, we won't notice it, will we? I mean, this is so bad, it is nuts. And the only ones that can stop this, the only ones that can fix this, is you and I and your grandpa and your grandma and your child. Because if we don't stop it, it ain't going to stop. And you ain't going to like the end result that they have planned for you. So we got to get by this whining, bitching, and complaining about politicians, about what they're teaching in the schools, and so on and so forth, because they're just going to keep ramping it up unless we shut it down. The easiest way to shut it down is no. Very little word, very powerful word. But Canadians don't know how to use the word. I don't think people in the West know how to use the word. Say what you mean what you say. And what we got to start saying is no. We're not putting up with it. And then once we have enough people strong enough that understand that they can say no, then we take our nations back. Because you're not going to take them back with a civil war. That ain't going to work, and they know it. They're playing a psychological spiritual board game, so we're going to sink to you. But it's time. Take music. Back here Thursday night. Same place, same time. Yep. Selling lies and buying time. Yep. Killing people next in line. Lower class and social slime. They don't matter. Genocide. Sick from water. Sick from air. Making money. They don't care. Caesar shit. Force of air. Fuck them back. It's only for them. They shoot. They kill.